Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Some time ago, I was watching a video of this huge choir that was doing Out of Africa. I think that was the name of the song. And they mimicked the rain with the finger snapping. And then they mimic the roar of it with slapping of their legs. Did anybody else see that other than me? Yeah. They did a wonderful job. I wonder if we could. Okay. Yeah. Well, he's going to lead us in thunder in just a minute. I tell you what, how many of you know that church is different? That means we're different. How many of you want to grow up being the same as you are now? I don't, because there's so much more that I have not experienced yet, and I have not given of myself to yet. But it's around the bend, you know, just like this song about this promise. You know, he says, I receive your rain because I'm with full expectation. I know what your promise is, and it's coming. So God is good enough to give us the rain of refreshing and the provision to be able to wait. You know, that's this thing that people give you a little video and they say, wait for it. You know, we're waiting for his promise to be fulfilled. A lot of promises have already been fulfilled. Has God already fulfilled some of your promises? Yes. Wait a minute. Yeah. Give him praise. All right, everybody stand to your feet. Now, real soft, begin to snap your fingers. Snap your fingers, everybody. All over. Now bring it harder. All right, now let's go. Faster. Where's that thunder? All right, lighten up. Y'all don't know it now, but I'm gonna have to pull up my sock on my right foot. But I might just leave it there. All right, you may be seated. Y'all enjoyed that. Oh man, I did too. I did too. I can't stand it. Okay, enough thunder. I love spontaneity. I really do. When you begin to just see, none of that was planned. It was just this rain song got me to thinking about that, and then got me to thinking about the refreshing of God. Even in the midst of all the chaos that we see, all the things that we're dealing with, all the things we see in operation on the earth, God still sends rain of refreshing. Yes, that's true. Reminding us of his promises. How many of you are hungering and thirsting after God? To the extent that you're going to hunger and thirst is going to be the extent of how you're filled or how much you're filled. So if you are not too hungry, you're not going to be too filled. Does that make sense? If you're not real thirsty, there's not going to be an outpouring for you to drink. So we have to be a people that are hungering and thirsting. We already have him, don't we? I'm wanting to see more of him being lived out of me and lived out of his people. So that's what I'm hungry for. That's what I'm thirsting for. I'm hungry and thirsting for him to be magnified to his fullness in all of the earth through his people. And if we don't have that hunger, we don't have that thirst, they're not going to be much in filling. They have to have that desire. And so when we come together, we need to realize that we're coming together as his body. It's not the completeness and the fullness of who he is, because he has his body all over the earth. And of born again believers. But see, when we come together, we need to come together to experience him. We experience him by hearing what he has to say, or an inward knowledge that comes through the worship, or something that comes through dance, or something that comes through the message, or something that comes through a prayer. We experience God. If we fail to experience God, we will not have anything for the world to encounter. How many of you believe that the world needs an encounter with God? I mean real bad, right? Real bad. Your neighborhood, where you work, you know, wherever you go. This world is in need of an encounter with who really, truly God is. But if we don't have the experience of him and of his life being lived in us and through us, you and I will have nothing of an encounter of God to give them. And they're hungry for it. They don't even realize. Some realize it, but a lot don't even realize that they're hungry for it. They know they're empty. They know what they have is not fulfilling. They're wondering, and some of them are miserable. Just waiting on you and I to show up with the goods, with the goodness of who he is. So we've got to make sure that when we go out, we give them a taste of who he is by our speech, by the way we look, the countenance. Have you ever encountered something that wasn't too pleasant in your life, but yet you knew you wasn't in a position to say anything that you really wanted to say? And all of a sudden, something happens and you give them that look. Now, I hear somebody laughing, but how many of you know what I'm talking about? It's just sort of snap, you sort of like something, and you go. Or you just go. Yeah. Guy in the third row. No, I'm missing one. See, our face, not just our words, but our countenance of what we give people matters. I realized this, sometime back. You know, the Wilsons, Gina grew up when she grew up with a deaf parents. And I heard sometime a few years ago that not just this that matters, it's also facial expression. When they give signings, they give facial expressions, if it's pleasant or if it's wonder or if it's anger or if it's frustration or if it's sweet, whatever it is, their face matches that. Yeah. You know, even in sign language. They need that expression. This world needs the expression, not just of what you're saying, but what you're giving them out of your countenance. That's the reason we needed the countenance of God to look upon us, so we can receive his countenance, his joy, to be able to give it to somebody else. If you don't have joy, you're not going to be able to give joy away. By the way, Isaiah tells us that when there is confusion, God said, instead of your confusion, I'm going to give you double. I'm going to give you double of what they have tried to confuse you over. Then he goes on and says this. He goes on and says this, that this land is going to be yours. And he said, also with confusion, he said, I'm going to give you joy forevermore. So what is the counter? What is the counter to confusion? It's really not clarity. How many of you had been real clear but yet still confused? I'm real clear about what you said, but I'm still confused. You know, see, but the Bible talks about that the confusion is addressed with the joy. How can that be? Because no matter what you haven't got figured, you having joy doesn't mean you've got it all figured out. You having joy means that the one who holds you has got it all figured out. He's got it all figured out, and you're just trusting in him. So you have a great joy about yourself because he holds it all. Is that true? He holds it all. You don't want to do that finger thing again? No. No, I'm still basking off of that. You know, that's the presence of God doing miraculous things. But, you know, when we experience God, we're able to take an encounter to somebody else where they can encounter him. Let me just give one more reality check here. How many of you have used your horn to express your frustration? I've got one honest person in here. I better just leave all that stuff behind. Are we? So we need to make sure that Jesus said that I am the way. He said, I am the way. He said, I am the way. Okay, so if we know that and we have experienced his way, his truth, and his life, we should have it in us to be able to bring an encounter to other people that can experience what? That can encounter what? His way, his truth, his life. You know, we talk about, you know, God doing many things. God, you know, with all of this stuff that's going on in the earth, we have so many voices, so many things being said. And we need to be careful who we're listening to. We need to be careful how we're taking things in. God has made it his purpose through Jesus to bring us to a place that a lot of us are not experiencing. And we need to experience that. See, part of my job here is not to make you feel comfortable. He gave you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, when I make you uncomfortable. See, my job here is to bring you to a place of answering your calling and fulfilling your destiny. Answering your calling and fulfilling your destiny. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll look at this just for a few moments. And how many of you believe that there is a grand purpose for you being on this earth? How many of you believe that? So we've got to, if we don't believe that, we're in trouble. We've got to believe that. You're not just here to come, just take a few breaths on this earth and then leave. We're here for the grand purpose that He has given. And we need to fulfill that purpose. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, Jesus has already died. Jesus has ascended, and then the Bible says that He descended. He descended in the earth to be able to, all those that were captive, He grabbed hold of them. All of them that were righteous in their ways before Him, He took those that were captive, because they can't go to heaven without His blood. So he takes them captive. How many of you have been, listen to this, how many of you have been captivated by His love? Just absolutely captivated. See, that's what this is talking about, that he took the captives, the one that were held in captivity, He took them captive by His own love. And the Bible says that then before He ascended, after He set them free and captivated them by His love, He says this, and He gave some as apostles. Now, I want you to watch this. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors, and some as teachers. On His way to heaven, He begins to give some the callings of the apostles, the apostolic calling on their life. He gives some the prophetic calling on their life. He gives some the evangelistic call on their life. He gives some the pastoral call on their life. And and the pastor actually is a hyphenated word, pastor, hyphenation, teacher. It could mean just the pastor teaches, or it could mean that all of the others are able to teach. Why did He do that? Because He knew you were going to need equipping. He knew that you and I were going to need training. He knew that you and I were going to need, listen to this, not just equipping, not just training, but an impartation. We need that. Jesus knew we needed that. Then he goes on, he says, I gave some as these for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service. So He's given, listen to this, Jesus knew that we needed help. And we needed help, listen to this, in the natural that is being led by the Spirit. We needed help from the physical realm that was led by the Spirit of God. There's you apostles. See, your apostles represent the ones that are the builders, the ones that lays foundations, the ones that starts things, the ones that gives you govern how to be governed. You need that in your life. I need that in my life. Jesus knew that. And then on the prophets, that is the revelatory, that is the one that is forthtelling, that is the one that brings revelation in a way that we've never seen that before. Or they speak into your life and you know they don't know what they're talking about, but what they're saying is true because you have not told them. How in the world did they know that? So you begin to have the prophetic in your life to begin, so you can experience or be inspired for revelation from God. How many of you know that we need that? How many of you, listen to this, how many of you know that the world outside of Christ, the world needs that? What do they need? They need us to be able to be a prophetic people, an apostolic people that knows about foundation pieces and about where they need to start and how they need to begin. And then they need this prophetic side that we're able to speak in their today that will propel them to their tomorrow. Some are just waiting on that. They're waiting on that prophetic thing that you have inside you to be able to say to somebody that moves them from where they are today to where they need to be tomorrow. Because they're stuck in there today because they think not the right way. Then when you experience God in the prophetic, and I'm not saying you're a prophet, but you have prophecy in you. And you have the influence of the prophetic in you. See, there's people that needs to hear that word of tomorrow. Because their hope has dwindled in their today. When you and I, when we as a church only begin to say what the world is saying, because it's convenient and it doesn't cost us a whole lot, it costs us more than you think. See, when the world sees us operating, you know, just like that magazine, I think it was Time magazine years and years and years and years ago, I can't even remember, it's been so far back that, right to the article, the line in the article, I'll never forget it, it impacted my life so much. And in the article, it said this line: right when we needed the church the most, we turned to her and she looked just like us. Whew. Boy, I don't want that to happen again today. Man, I don't want that to happen again today. I want it that they can, when they turn to the church, that they see hope. They see, look, we're not the deliverer, but we carry the deliverance. Your words can carry the deliverance. Your words can, you're not the Savior, but you carry the salvation that they need. You're not the healer, but you carry the healing that they need. That's the reason Jesus knew this all along. That's the reason he said, okay, this is what I'm going to give you. On my way, I'm going to make sure that you have this. Because you need to be equipped, you need to be trained, you need to be established, you need to be inspired. Then on the evangel side, you know, those that are evangelists, it's like, okay, what do they do? They bring you good news every time you see them. This man sitting over here has an evangelist call on his life, Brother Mike. And you can be around him and he's going to give you some good news. If you don't want it. Really, he why? He's part of the sum. He's part of the sum that God gave. Now, you know what we can do with the sum? I don't need to hear that. I've already heard that. We can discount. We can discount what is being brought because we already think we already know. We can discount what they're bringing, thinking that what he's bringing, we already know. I don't need that. I already know that. You've already read John 3:16. Have you ever read it again? How many times? Multiple times. Why? Because there's always something there. There's always something there. You don't know a scripture and have fully exhausted what it really means. That's the reason you need people in your life that God's saying you need the good news bearers. Hey, look, I don't do good altar calls. I'm not real great at altar calls. I'm teaching up here, and sometimes I feel like the end of my teaching, it's like, I don't know where to go after this. Do y'all like Jesus? Do y'all want Jesus? You want to meet Jesus? You know, I'm not belittling it. I'm just telling you, he's great at it. There's other people that's great at it. Why? That's their part. That's their part. See, it goes on, then he says, pastors, teachers. Pastors, see, Jesus knew that after all these others got through knocking you around a little bit with the truth, somebody's going to have to love on you some. Some's going to have to come alongside and say, look, I'm going to encourage you. They didn't really mean that. They meant this. You need to be cared for. You need to be nurtured. You need to be taught. You need to be guarded. Y'all hear me? You need to make sure that the wolves don't come in and begin to have their way amongst the flock. They have to be able to teach. They have to be able to break things apart so you can understand them. So we can all understand them. Jesus knew this. Why? He said, because you're going to need the equipping, the training and the impartation that needs to be given. Do you know that you can give people a teaching without an impartation? Oh, you can teach them all day long, but if you're not giving your life to it, there's not an impartation. The impartation has life. Equipping the saints. Let's stop right there. Notice the word saints. If you're born again, you are a saint. I thought I'd get that many amens on that. But see, that just really shows where we are. See, a saint is someone who has accepted the very sacrifice that Christ has given, and Christ is indwelling inside them, and no longer do they have to work for holiness. He's already made them holy. No longer do they have to work for righteousness. He's already made them righteous. If you do not see yourself as a saint, you will not be able to receive from those who are teaching you about godly living. If you still see yourself as just an old sinner, I'm not saying we don't sin. I'm not saying we don't do wrong. I'm just saying, but our position is we're saints. That's the reason Paul said, for the equipping of the saints. For the equipping of the people who are his. See, you and I made a journey to the cross to in search of a Savior. Yes or no? We made that journey to that cross in search of a Savior, and we found him. Rather, he found us. He led us to that cross. He led us to that sacrifice. But we have people that are already born again, already have the Savior, but yet journeying to the cross and looking for a Savior. You know, with me? I've already got a Savior. Well, what should we do, Pastor? Here's what we don't need to look like a people journeying to the cross to find someone we've already found, to have someone that we already have. I'm not against the cross. We should go to the cross to put some things away. The cross needs to be preached. But what should we look? We should look like a resurrected people coming out of the grave. We sing so many songs about, I'm out of the grave, I'm coming out of the grave, I'm out of the grave, I'm out of the grave, I'm out of the grave. Are y'all, what did you say? I didn't hear you. That's why you have so much dirt. What? We're resurrected. You once were that, but you're no longer that. You're a brand new creation. A brand new creature. You have a Savior that has saved you from hell, from bondage of sin, from the power of sin, to freedom. Listen, if you don't know who you are, if you're not fitting inside these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 letters, if you're not fitting inside this, you will not be able to hear from these people that are in your life to equip you. Why? Because you'll have this mentality that you're so messed up that God could never use you. You won't be able to do what that he wants you to do, and he won't be able to go where he wants you to go. You won't be able to say what he wants you to say. Why? Because I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. We were. That's who we were. That's the reason Paul makes a distinction. He said, you are saints. And Christ has given you this layout for you to be equipped and for you to be established and for you to have impartation to be able to do the things he wants you to do. The work of the service. He said, the saints for the work of the service, for the building up of the body of Christ. How many verses did we get? 2? Until we all attain the unity of the faith, the oneness of faith. Let me ask you that. Have we attained the oneness of faith yet? No. That's not the fullness. That's the reason we still need to have these people speaking into our lives. You know, I heard someone recent. That's the reason you have to be of the Berean spirit. You need to hear the truth. But after you hear it and after you hear what's said, you and I need to go to the scriptures to make sure what was said is in this book. Well, when do you do that? Anytime you're told anything. Yes, well, what if it's you telling us? You go look anyway. Yes, matter of fact, you may need to look more because I'm telling you. Why is that? You need to have a hunger for the truth, hunger and thirst for the truth. You need to have a desire for that, so you can be equipped and established and imparted to be able to do the work. See, the work of the service is not just ministry. People think that, oh, I got the ministry of this. But no, it's not just ministry. It's the work of the service. What's the work of the service? Whatever work that he wants you to serve in. Whatever that is. Wherever that is. Until we all come to the unity of faith, until we all come to the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. Everybody say, a mature man. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And I'm going to end there because there's so much more, but we'll just pick it up next week. So we grab hold of this thing that Jesus knew that you and I needed this help. You needed the strength of those who were good starters, who were foundational pieces, who knew how to do things from the beginning, who knew how to govern things. You need that. Then you need this thing about the prophetic, about the inspiration and the revelatory and the imparters of revelation that God gives them, so you can have the revelation as well coming from the Holy Spirit. Then the advance, you need the good news. We need the good news. There's enough bad news out there. Be careful how much you drink of that bad news. Be careful. Be cautious. Be cautious. And the pastors and the teachers, bringing us to a place of fullness in Christ. Why is that? Because that's the fullness of our experience. When you and I experience Ephesians 4 in this way, you and I will have the goods to be able to take to a world outside this so they can have an encounter of what we've already experienced. They're waiting. They're waiting on you. They're waiting on me. It may be at the grocery store. It may be at the filling station. It may be wherever it is. See, we have got to stop living in the valley of Sunday to Sunday. Y'all hear that? What? Oh, man, I felt good today. I got, and then, what day is it? Thursday. Whew, I'll be glad Sunday gets here. Well, we've got to be able to live in what we've learned to be able to get to the next Sunday to learn more. Amen. To experience and walk out during this time until the next time we're together. Don't ever take this for granted. When you do, when you and I take this meeting for granted, we can be real close to losing it. So where do we go from here? We listen up to the people God's put into our lives, that he has set in our life to be able to give you counsel, to be able to give you advice, to be able to give you godly wisdom, to be able to give you the advice that you need to hear, whether you like it or not. Amen. See, a shepherd, when a sheep begins to stray, and he begins to be a constant strayer, and the true shepherding, they will break that. The shepherd will break the leg of the sheep, so it won't stray anymore. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? But here's what he does: he puts it on his shoulders, and he carries it till it heals. That's the difference in somebody beating the sheep with knowledge, or giving hard things to the sheep with love. There's a huge difference. The world's waiting for you. We have got to grow up. We have got to come to the fullness of his stature, the fullness of Jesus, so we can get them to encounter what's inside us. Because he's going to send you. Say, he's going to send me. Matter of fact, he's already sent some of you. But he's going to send you. But don't be satisfied with where you're at. He may change where he sends. But God, I'm so used to this over here. I got this. I can do this with my eyes closed. That's the reason I'm moving you over here, son. You don't need me over there. You need me over here. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You think you've got this figured out over here. You ain't got it. I'm going to show you ain't got it figured out. I'm going to put you over here. And then you say, whoa. And over here you're saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Over here, he's saying, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Where you? I need you. And he wants us to be desperate for him no matter where we are. Don't let being familiar with something that you've already tasted, don't let that destroy the hunger of what you really need for today. Amen. Did you get anything out of that today? Okay. God bless you. Thank you, online streamers and dreamers. We really do appreciate you guys tuning in and sitting at home and being safe, and we do appreciate that. But we want you to take in everything of the Holy Spirit that he's given you today that you can drink of and partake in. And if you need help, just call the church. It's 828-287-2868. Give us a call. We'll tell you about Jesus. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love and your word. And thank you for the people that you've put into our lives to help equip us. Help us to not resist those that you've brought in. And help us to embrace as you bring them in to teach us and to train us and equip us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. See you next week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.